Good morning again. Please excuse me if I mostly read from my notes. Public speaking definitely isn't my thing. Last year, I was extremely fortunate to do a Noongar language and culture course. I shared with Claire how much I appreciated it, and she jumped at the chance, of course, and suggested I might like to share it with you. So here I am. But Claire isn't here today to share it with us. I've lived on Noongar country for most of my 75 years, but I've had very little personal contact with Noongar people during all those years. My first 12 years were in the country, firstly near Meriden and then near Moora. I remember that there were some Aboriginal children at our little school for a short time, but I don't remember their names or anything about them, except they used to catch our school bus for a short while. During those years, we did get to know an Aboriginal man who used to work on the same property as my father. My father helped him with some reading and writing. We moved to the city for my high school education and lived in Daglish. I wasn't aware of any Aboriginal families living around us. However, I later found out that there were Aboriginal families living quite close to us in the bush in Shenton Park. I don't remember meeting any Aboriginal children at Hollywood High School in the 5 years I was there. No doubt there were some there too. I now understand that Aboriginal people had learned over many years not to draw attention to themselves. And because of my ignorance, I wasn't sensitive to those who may have been hiding in plain sight. However, I do remember being shocked while visiting family in Kalgoorlie and hearing my aunt threaten her young children, "If you don't behave, the niggers will get you." My father had an answer for the Aboriginal problem. He said there should be a fence built right across the middle of Western Australia. If Aboriginal people wanted to live like Abos, it actually hurts me to say that word, but that was the word he used, they could live above that line. If they wanted to live like whites, they could live below that line. I can remember as a teenager trying to argue with him about that theory and various other theories he espoused. But I could never win an argument with my dad, and I eventually stopped trying. Over the years, I've continued to be interested in and tried to learn more about those whose land we live on. When we moved to Joondanna 6 years ago, I was very keen to learn more about the original inhabitants of that particular area. I was shocked when I went to the local library to find there was a great deal of information and detailed history of the early white settlers, but almost none about the original inhabitants. It was as if they had never existed. I've had a little conversation with the local council since then. A year or so ago, I read these words by an Aboriginal lady. "We were forbidden, even punished, for speaking our language. We were forced to learn your language, and we have to keep on using it. If you would really like to show some respect to me, you could make an effort to try and learn my language." Reading this gave me a real desire to learn something of the local Noongar language. Elise mentioned the Noongar language and culture course during a service here in July last year. I pricked up my ears. Elise seemed to disappear quickly that day, so I didn't get to speak to her, but later I spoke to Claire, who told me how to access the course. I enrolled in the course a few days later and completed it in November last year. The course can be accessed through Curtin University, where it was developed a few years ago. It's an online course. Last year when I did the course, it was free unless you wanted a certificate. I found the course fascinating and really worth the time that I put into it. In fact, it was good to go back over my course notes as I prepared for my talk today. I would encourage anyone interested to consider doing this course. Noongar is one of the many endangered indigenous languages in our country. There's going to be a video now from Curtin University which gives a little taste of what the course is about.
Kaya, Wandru Wandru, which means hello and welcome. My name is Marion Kigott and I'm the Director of the Centre for Aboriginal Studies at Curtin University in Western Australia. The Noongar people are the original inhabitants of the southwest of Western Australia and have lived here for tens of thousands of years. Today, Noongar people bring ancient knowledge and rich cultural traditions into the contemporary Australian society. In this course, we will teach you a range of Noongar words and phrases that you can use in conversations as we guide you through different aspects to do with our culture.
Nija ngany, nija ngalang buja.
Nija kumung.
Nija kumung.
Borna.
Borna.
Nyat.
Nyat.
Ninan.
Ninan. Jeningen bao, jeningen bao. Karakumba jeningen bao.
This will include looking at the six Noongar seasons, bush medicines, and bush tucker, and why connection to country is so important to us. You will also learn about our history and how we are expressing our culture today through art, music, dance, and in our communities. We will have many Noongar guides joining you along the way to share their experiences and knowledge. We are thrilled to be offering you this exciting course and hope you will join us.
One of the things I especially appreciated about the course, and you would have seen it there, was hearing from many local Noongar elders about their history, their language, their family, their spirituality, their culture, their courage, their resilience, and their grace. To be learning about our part of the world from the people who've been caring for it for at least 45,000 years was such a privilege. God has given me a desire to learn more from Aboriginal people. I want to learn more about God as I learn about how he has revealed himself to Aboriginal people in nature and in stories. I was also thrilled to learn in the course about some of the amazing work that Noongar people are doing in our community. For example, I'd never heard about the Mudjatul Mourner Choir. Has anyone here heard about that choir? A few people. Mudjatul Mourner means magical bush sounds. There's another video now. I'm making it interesting today with lots of not much talk from me and some videos. This video is by a lady called Della Ray Morrison, who was involved in starting the choir and has been running it now for over 15 years. Thank you, Peter.
I'm from the Bibbulmun Noongar Nation, and I come from a number of clans in the southwest of West Australia. It's 14 clans, and my family and ancestral connections are with, on my mother's side, Minang and Goring, and on my father's side is Willaman and Wurundjeri. And I've also got Yamaji connections as well, which is around the north of Perth. And I come from a very large family, both my mother's side and my father's side, are very big families in the southwest within the Noongar community. I think what it really comes down to, my biggest inspiration is my family, and which leads into, you know, my community, the Noongar community, and my family are my biggest inspirations that lead me to do the things that I do in the arts and in activism, and within my spirituality and connection to country.
Puja. Mambakor. Bolo. Pilya. Puja. Mambakor.
Yes, I've been running the Majjhara Mourner Choir for 15 years. It wasn't something that I actually planned myself, it just happened. I was asked to put together an Aboriginal choir. But we had more non-Indigenous people attend our first rehearsal. And so it's more like a community choir that sings Aboriginal songs and songs in language, in Aboriginal language and Torres Strait Island language. And it's been a wonderful journey of ups and downs, I guess, like any project and any journey and any, you know, family, community things that you have in your life. There's been lots of healing in this space and lots of fantastic times together, and lots of learning together. We're going through a bit of a transition at the moment where we're trying to get more Aboriginal people to attend the choir. And so we just really hope that we can get more Aboriginal people to come along and sing the songs and learn the language with us and continue on for the next 13 years with us. Yeah, or 15 years with us. A message that I sort of speak to the wider community is to encourage people to educate themselves on Aboriginal culture and history, as in, you know, do some research about things like the 1905 Act and the 67 referendum and the stolen generation, intergenerational trauma, you know, and research and look at the places that you live in, you know, find out more about the land that you're on, try and connect to the Aboriginal community and the elders in the community, you know, if you're wanting to learn more about our culture, to start with the families in your community first. Because, you know, all cultures have gone through intergenerational trauma, and I think that's a really important thing to learn about. It's learning about ourselves as human beings, and we learn about our family connections, and then we understand other nationalities and the things that they've gone through. And I think we're at a time in our lives and in our creation on this planet, on Mother Earth, where we can have more of an understanding with one another and, you know, walk together for, you know, more of a positive future together, you know, once everyone understands one another. Yeah.
I'm ashamed to say that I still have a very limited grasp of Noongar language. Not having someone to practice it with makes that difficult. However, I'm thrilled to be familiar with some words and phrases and to have a feel of how the language works. In fact, Noongar language and culture cannot be separated. I do now have a much deeper understanding of how devastating colonisation was on the whole existence of the original inhabitants of this land. I'd like to end my talk today with another video. This one is Dr. Noel Nanup sharing something about Point Walter. Noel Nanup is a respected Aboriginal elder, a storyteller, and a cultural guide.
I come down here often. Right through where we're sitting here, going down there to that sandbar and coming from way up the top there, is an energy line. Like the energy is elevated here. It's probably about 40 metres wide and we're sitting smack bang in the middle of it. And as I sit here in this energy, it allows me to just totally unwind and relax and get into that zone that I yearn for. And that helps me cope with the stresses and strains associated with living in this hideous system we're in now, you know, where every facet of it is against us as Aboriginal people. So I need this goodness, the goodness that keeps me alive and keeps me focused. But this piece of land here, wow. It just has that X factor for me. And I just love it when you get those stunning moments when it's absolutely peaceful. It's beautiful. This is where the women and children talked about marriage. Girls were learning early about that. They also talked about how to interact with one another, food, plants, medicinal plants. If you go back in the old way, there was a time when the men and boys went across the other side of the river from King's Park, what we call Kardagurrup. Law started there and they went right through into the Seven Hills over the other side. But these 15-year-olds, they'd swim across to the sandbar and the women and the children would be waiting here. Boys 14 years and under, all the girls not of marriageable age, which is under 15, and the women and the rest of the children would be waiting here while that law business was taking place in the Seven Hills over there. There's a story about a spirit woman who walked through here and she was as tall as cirrus clouds are high. And she put her footprint in the river there. That's called Jenalup. Jenna is your foot. Jenalup is the place of the footprint. And she had this beautiful, long, flowing white hair that shimmered in the dull eerie light. And she saw a little child on this side of the river and she picked it up and it was a little girl and she admired her beauty and put her in her hair. She noticed a little boy way over there. So she bent over and picked him up and when she did he had long fingernails. And he grabbed a strand of hair to hang on. By this time she'd stood up and that hair snapped and floated down. And this is what the result of it is. This is her hair. Going out there to the middle and beyond. We call this place Joondalup. This is the original, what they call Joondalup today. We say Joondalup. Joondal means hair. Joondal Joomba, the place of the long white hair. So all the while I'm sitting here, these things are resonating with me. We have totems and we have to know all about those totems. So that means you have to commit it to memory. When you have your totem, because you have such a connection to that totem, you know every conceivable aspect of it. My mum's totem, family totem's the pelican. She came from the Pilbara. You know, I was in the Kimberley for 6 years, based in Fitzroy Crossing. That was great. I really enjoyed that life. Younger days, you know. Four-wheel drive, nut, park ranger, married a crayfisherman's daughter from Dongra. Then, like a fool, went and got an education. Threw a spanner in the works. I went to university to learn all of these things and make sure I could talk to people about the ancient Aboriginal way and bring it together with scientific way of looking at everything. I enjoy that. But that's why I work at Edith Cowan Uni, is because each of the campuses, southwest in Bunbury, that's here at Mount Lawley, and that's up at Joondalup, they're all built on the same songline. When I was asked to work there, there was no hesitation. I just had to back off and go away and get it confirmed spiritually. And my 6 or 7 years now. Yeah, and it's great. Yeah. You know, as we live in a place, walk through it following the song lines, we shed our skin. The skin falls into the soil because it's the most nutrient-deficient soil on the planet. It replaces that nutrient deficiency with fungi. And that fungi is favoured by several of our trees, particularly the sheoaks. Because we shed our skin, the mycorrhizals underneath them take it up, and our DNA is in those trees. That's the connection. And that means it's the tree of names. And in the wind, if you tune in and you know how to do that, you'll hear the voice of every person that's ever lived. It's a whole new way of looking at the world. So here we are now, sitting in this place. I guess it hasn't altered a lot, really. There's a bit of tar and cement and lawn, but that's it. And we'll always have this left here, the energy of this place. Every conceivable aspect of life is here, if you look for it.
I said that was the end, and it just about is. If you'd like to hear more from Dr. Noel Nanup, there's a very interesting film available on YouTube called Synergies, Walking Together, Belonging to Country. That film's a collaboration between Dr. Stephen Hopper and Dr. Noel Nanup, where they explore the similarities between the Noongar creation stories and the Western scientific understanding of nature. It's worth having a look at. I've got some handouts here if anybody's interested in a few more facts that I learnt along the way when I did the course, just a one-page thing, and there's also a few links, one to the language course, one to a website where you can learn 50 Noongar words. They have the words in English and in Noongar and spoken, so you can hear them spoken. And I don't know whether any of you realise there's a Noongar Wikipedia, which is very interesting. So I'll leave these out here if you're interested. But that's it for me. And if you have any comments or questions, now's the time. Otherwise, we can go for morning tea a bit early. That's wonderful. And I think we've all been exposed to different experiences and met wonderful local Aboriginal people. As I've confessed, I haven't had a lot of that. And that's one of the things that this course is so rich in. Instead of learning from Western people, white people, the experts, we are learning from Aboriginal people themselves.